Welcome to another episode of the Telltale Heart Cardiovascular Digest for Pharmacists. Doing a mini solo episode today for Heart Month. We're here in the MJH Life Sciences Studio. The first time we've recorded another podcast, but we're the first team to be in this podcast studio. So we're making the best of it and trying to get some content. But excited to do a little brief solo episode. I wanted to talk a little bit about today an article that it's a perspective that came out in the New England Journal of Medicine this past week. And I think it is more important for us as pharmacists to think through these commentaries and what we can do about it and be proactive. Before I get into that, as always, please like, subscribe, follow, tell us what you want to see. We need you to give us ratings in that process, but also just to, you know, continue to share the podcast. Let us know what you want to see. We're always open to that feedback. Otherwise, it's kind of me creating the madness, which is fine, but I definitely want to make sure it's valuable to you as the listener as we go through this process. So please let us know. And so the item I want to talk about today for our brief episode is this perspective that was published in January 29th, 2026 in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it's talking about the hypertension control paradox. And I know we've talked about the hypertension guidelines, and this is still front and forward as we will A, try to continue to implement them, and B, there are several new agents coming down the pike, and we'll probably see one of those in the next year, the aldosterone synthase inhibitors coming to market with baroxystat that is coming out, as we'll see what happens with that. But what we're seeing is that, you know, although controlling blood pressure with medications is very simple and elegant solution, and you know, not just medications, but lifestyle changes to that process. And we've had, you know, years and years of experience and understanding what this is. We are still doing very poorly at this. And it's interesting, if you look around the introduction of the National High Blood Pressure Education Program that was launched in 1972, only 10% of U.S. adults with hypertension had a blood pressure below 140 over 99 millimeters of mercury. And the control rate peaked about at 54% between 2013 and 2014, and then fell to 44% by 2017, and now hovers around 50%. And I've done some work and published out of the NCDR Pinnacle Registry that shares some of this processes. And as we've continued to change the blood pressure threshold, we also still see that same target and people not getting to that goal. And we obviously have very effective therapies, and we just don't seem to be doing a very good job in America. When you look at other countries, like Canada has been able to get to above 66th percentile or almost and continues to move in that direction. Kaiser Permanente has a health system and a value-based care health system, has reached 90% using protocols, team-based care. And so clearly the rate of achieving this high control is possible. And so why is the United States so, you know, still failing at doing this and what it is? And I think they do a nice job of talking about some of the barriers that exist, such as lack of direct financial assistance, underwhelming billing codes or impact from remote patient monitoring, inconsistent quality metrics, and then also just gaps in slow data information or out-of-office monitoring or the measurement quality, and then just care delivery. And I think this is the important part about pharmacists is we know this, there's therapeutic inertia and really working to develop algorithms that are decision support tools. And what they actually work through or talk about is, you know, protocolized care or team-based models and knowing that pharmacist-led programs or nurse-led programs, but pharmacists have been shown, and this is a data of circulation quality and outcomes, that pharmacists are the most effective healthcare provider in terms of managing blood pressure and getting people to goal, followed behind community health workers, to really get them up to speed and up to stuff and follow that protocolized guideline. And they really mentioned that as a part of this process and moving a little bit from a volume-based to a value-based care system, but just really thinking about how we as pharmacists, if we're not practicing in the hypertension space, how can we be engaged in that process or be a part of the solution? And that is something that can be tied into a community pharmacy or health system-based process. But I think we need to be more engaged in figuring out ways we can insert ourselves in either through protocolization, where it is available in certain states that you have the ability to do a collaborative practice agreement, and maybe being proactive in helping set up those programs. There's lots of great models and initiatives that exist that are pharmacist-led that people are willing to share or publicly out there. For example, there is a CDC-based program that talks about integrating pharmacists into blood pressure management that has a whole implementation kit and tool guide that helps do this. So I think this perspective is very timely. It's very interesting that you call that out. And it's not interesting because it's not a secret, but it's really, we as pharmacists need to think about how are we going to do this? And I think we've brought some people on. If you look at our past episode with Gary Owens from Vanderbilt, he's talking about his process that they're doing that is a PCORI-based grant. And I encourage you to go back into our backlog and look for that. Maybe I'll get them to kind of do a, what is the term I'm looking for? A historical or a refresh or a repost, or have that episode come back to the top at the timing of this drop, so that way you, if you want to go back and listen to an archived episode and talk about strategies to do that, but really getting into thinking about how we can change this paradox for the United States, and that the pharmacists have the ability to do that, and especially with the tools that are going to be coming out. I will tell you, it starts with the guidelines, and we talk about that with Gary. What are the changes to the guidelines that occurred most recently? And it's a great insight. So I think, you know, that's where I would encourage us to first start, but then thinking about how you can do that in your own way and process. Well, that's all for today for this Heart Month mini episode. I just wanted to bring that perspective to you. If you have access to the New England Journal of Medicine, I encourage you to read it. It's about 4 pages. It's not a long read, but it's very poignant, and it really does talk about why we need pharmacists to be engaged in this process, so it's very encouraging. With that, again, like, subscribe, and thank you for continuing to listen along with us.